Today, Jesus is talking to two groups. The first being comprised of the tax collectors and the sinners, and the second being the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus is talking to the haves and the have-nots. The funny thing about parables is that when Jesus uses them in his teaching, earthly and societal understandings get all tangled and twisted. So I'm not sure which group actually is the haves and which is the have-nots. What we do know is that the Pharisees and the scribes were not happy at all that Jesus welcomed sinners. And not only did he welcome them, the scriptures said that Jesus ate with them. Culturally, this was a big deal. It was an outward and visible sign that Jesus considered these sinners worthy of everything God had to offer. Jesus was redefining the meaning of family. This didn't sit well for some people. So no matter what your perception might be as to who constitutes the haves and the have-nots, Jesus tells all of them today's parable. Often given the name the prodigal son, this parable is well known to most Christians, especially to those of us who have been around a while. Now, for some of us, we know this parable so well that we tune out listening to the gospel passage when the reader begins with the words, "There was a man who had two sons." We stop really listening to it because we already have it. We already know what happens. We already know what it means. Jesus likes parables for a reason. The Spirit uses them to throw us a curveball when we're looking for something else. The younger son said to his father, "Give me the share of the property that will belong to me." Notice that he doesn't ask for property that belongs to him, but that will belong to him, or what he assumes will belong to him, because he didn't have the birthright. This is bold and unexpected. It's a request that just would not happen. It is one that is reeking in arrogance. The answer, of course, would be no. This son hasn't earned this wealth. It just wouldn't happen. This is Jesus teaching in parables, so this is not the case. The father must have known his son so well and with a love so great that the only response was to give him what he was asking for and then to let him go. Now the younger, finding himself with an abundance, spends his wealth in a self-indulgent manner. He recklessly exchanges his cash for instant gratification. It was all about him. Now, those who were listening to Jesus must have been shocked. This was not a culture that promoted self. Life was never about one person. Life was given through the family as a whole. There was no I, there was no me. Life was in the family. Now, through sin and selfishness, the money was all gone, and the younger brother found himself at rock bottom. If you've been at rock bottom, you know how painful it can be. In such desperation, the pains of hunger sent the younger brother on a journey away from the foreign country where he had been living. Knowing he had severed his life from his family, he headed back home. He didn't really expect anything, but he hoped for something greater than the life of a swine. He hoped for maybe something close to that of a slave. He hoped for life beyond the rancidness of death. He was seeking enough manna to survive. The rancidness of death. Have you ever smelled the stench of rotting flesh? Not to be gross or anything, but I recall a time where in the last house Trisha and I lived in Oklahoma, something just wasn't right. You know, it starts off kind of slowly. And then that, if the week passes and the August sun comes up, you really start smelling something. And it got so bad. And we searched in every nook and cranny of this back bathroom that had our washer and dryer in it. Looked everywhere, couldn't find anything, but that was the strongest place the odor was coming from. I couldn't take it anymore. I was going to get sick, and so I cut out the walls in this house. It was that bad. It needed to go away. Couldn't embrace the smell anymore. Keep that in mind. The rancidness of death. The father saw the son coming from far off and filled with compassion, not filled with anger and judgment, but with compassion, he ran out to meet him. And the father threw his arms around his reeking son's neck and he kissed him. In an act of humility, the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." No longer worthy. I've already cut that off. I'm not part of the family. In response to the son's confession of repentance, the father, with the outward and visible signs of family, the outward and visible signs of putting a robe on him and a ring on his finger, he restores his son to new life, giving him all he had to offer. Son was lost, and now he's found. And as the parable continues, the elder son heard about this and became angry. He separated himself from the family. He refused to come to this celebration of new life. What did the father do? Once again, he went out to meet a child of his that was lost. The elder issues blame and judgment, and he expresses his worthiness, his steadfastness of being there with him, doing anything he was asked, compared himself to the sins of his brother. The father knows the wholeness of his family and the celebration of life was in jeopardy once again. How long had his youngest son been gone? How long had he been mourning this death? And now the family is going to be whole. Yet, the eldest son would not rejoin. So the father reminds that son that he was always with him. And life in the father's home, it was already his. As modern-day listeners, it's important to know that this parable in the scriptures, it comes directly after the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. The writers of the Gospels, though we hear them, the stories in different places in different Gospels, they put them together for a meaning to tell a story that they want told, and these three parables are together. And so in the lost sheep and the lost coin, we learn that everything is equally important. Be it one sheep out of 100, one lost sheep out of 100, or one single coin out of 10, they are to be sought and they are to be found. Those that experience being lost, they're worth being found. Have you ever experienced or being or feeling lost? Have you experienced feeling that separation, either separation that you've created or that someone else has created that's just happened? Our basic need, human need, is to have connection. It's in our core. We need connection, or we will fall into the death of being lost. We need to feel like with someone or something we belong. It made me think about this whole wholeness of the family and belonging about the people who were not mentioned in the story. Because I know for me, when I am lost, when I am feeling empty, no matter if it's the times of my life where I have bounced off the bottom and started headed back up, or if it's other times where I've spiritually felt lost, empty, alone, or sitting with the guilt and the shame of the sins that I have committed in my life, I know that I didn't come out of that without the help of other people. I needed people to draw me away from that darkness into the light, to help me move from being lost to being found. And the people in the foreign country were giving him nothing. And then he set out for home. This was a country far off, it said. It's a distant country. He was starving to death. He did not make it home on his own. He needed help. At least have enough hospitality, enough nourishment to get where he was going. He needed help pulling out of his darkness into the light. Wherever we find ourselves in this parable, and I find myself in different places every time I read it, if it's something about that instant gratification, that selfishness, that focus upon me versus wholeness of God's family. Or if it's me finding myself issuing judgment on other people, hey, they didn't deserve that. They haven't earned that. Whatever the case may be, pops up in weird places sometimes. Maybe you find yourself just lost or in pain. All those things can be found within this parable. Maybe you're one of those unnamed people that actually helped the lost be found. However the parable speaks to you, they're all encompassed by a father who loves so much that everything he has, he gives to the family. Too many times we have people who says there's haves and has not, who try to remove people from the family, but not in this parable. We only have the love trying to make it whole again so that they can celebrate life. We're called to listen. We're called to not only seek people who can help us out of us being lost, but also to seek those who are and to help them. We are a family on this journey to God.